Are you using Amazon.com to find the lowest prices on everything you need online? If not, that's a worse move than getting eliminated from the Amazing Race with an Express Pass in your pocket. Get the best deals and support Rob as a podcast when you start your Amazon shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's about to talk about an episode of Amazing Race that was so good, Phil was left to be speaking in Yiddish. Rob Cesternino, hello everybody and welcome. Wow, this is pretty much the most amazing episode of Amazing Race that I think I've ever seen. I'm very excited to talk about it. I'm here with a man who video recaps the Amazing Race for us on Rob Has a Website. Please welcome back, at Reality Recaps on Twitter, Mr. Eric Curto.
Hello, Rob Cesternino, who I have encountered before.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
So, Eric, how are you?
I am amazing after that show. Actually, I'm a little disappointed after that show not being able to video recap it this week, but I'm so thrilled to be able to talk about it with you here.
Yeah, so no real life getting in the way of your video recapping schedule. So no, you'll have to watch, go to cbs.com if you missed this episode. Trust us, you will want to rewatch this one. Skip to about 45 minutes in if you have to.
And I have a feeling I'll be going back to it when I catch back up the following week. I mean, yeah, I'll be going back a little bit.
Yes. So no video recap from Eric this week. So we're going to have him on and get his thoughts here this week. So you get a back-to-back double dose of Eric Curto here. But we've got such a great episode of Amazing Race to talk about. And I started to see around like 40 minutes after the hour, I started to say to myself, oh boy. Oh boy, I think I know where this is going, but they can't possibly, it can't actually happen this way, and it did. And for those of you guys who didn't watch the show but are listening to the podcast, first off, God bless you, and second of all, we had our team, Smiley John, who may not be smiling tonight, John and Jessica, they had an express pass for winning the first leg of the race. And despite many delays in their game this week, kept deciding not to use it and were the last team to arrive. And really, it was almost like in a tin cup type fashion of they just refused to use the express pass and just come to the mat, insisting that maybe there was some other team out there on the course.
Yeah, but I mean, there was a lot of good right from the beginning, Rob. We cannot forget about, it was good from the moment it started. Do we need to talk about Caroline and the flying squirrel her bra?
Let's not bury the lead. We'll get to all that, but we have to start here with John and Jessica. And perhaps, just perhaps, this may be the dumbest thing that we've ever seen on reality TV. And so let's open up the conversation there. Not even Amazing Race. Was this the worst blunder that we've ever seen on reality TV?
I don't know if it was the worst.
Because I think
blunder.
It might be. I think it could be. We'll talk it through.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's any worse than The Pawn Goes Home or or people leaving Survivor when they have the immunity. I don't think it's any worse than that. The only thing that I think could possibly make it a little worse, John knew when he was standing there with Chuck that it was just them two. And when Chuck ran off, I have no idea why he didn't instantly use that express pass. And could Jessica have just been like, I'm using it, even though she wasn't with him, and had somebody grab him? I'm interested in all of that. And I also would like to know, what was his little conspiracy theory there for like 5 seconds? What was all that about?
Wait, which conspiracy theory?
when John like ran to Jessica and said, I think I know what happened. There's no pictures on those boards. Where's Phil? I want to see him. I want to talk to him. It was just like a brief little 5-second cryptic conversation that they were having. And then he ran off again.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about the whole anatomy of this. And here's why I think it was so bad and so much worse than, say, somebody on Big Brother who said, put me up on the block as the pawn and they get voted out, or somebody on Survivor who goes out of the game with two immunity idols. All of these people got blindsided. So if we're going to go through the list of things of Ozzy on Survivor Fans vs. Favorites, he has an immunity idol. He doesn't play it. James has two immunity idols, and they're down to like final six. I don't know. You know, he could be playing one just for fun, for no reason. Why isn't he doing it? But neither of those guys, at least in Survivor, knew that. Nobody was telling them. There's a decent chance you could get voted out tonight. Now there's an increasingly higher chance you could get voted out tonight. Now there's about a 50-50 chance that you could get voted out tonight. They had to have seen the train coming closer and closer and closer, and they never, I'm going to really mix up my metaphors, they never pull the ripcord on the parachute, even though they had many, many opportunities to do so.
Yeah, I will definitely give it to you that in that instance, because clearly he knew when it was down to him and Chuck that was it. So I still do not understand why he didn't use it. I would say for that reason alone, it is definitely has to then be the worst move in reality TV history. But on the bright side, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's over it. He's not even thinking about it.
Well, how do you know?
Because he said so. He does not like to focus on the past or worry about it. What happened, happened. He's not going to dwell on it. And then we get Phil and Oy Vey.
Oy Vey is right. So we'll see. I can't believe this. I mean, is this worse than on the people on Survivor that gave away the hidden immunity or the immunity necklace, like a Brandon or like an Eric, where they get down to like final four, final five, and give up immunity?
I mean, possibly.
I still think it's worse.
Yeah, I guess it would have to be worse because they're giving up immunity in thinking they're going to benefit from it in another way. John and Jessica knew there was no other way to benefit.
Mm-hmm.
It's them or Chuck and Winona.
One other one. So, let me give you. Is this worse than Marcellus choosing not to use the golden power of veto on himself in Big Brother 3?
No, I still say because he believed he had the option to stay, whereas John and Jessica knew it's them or Chuck and Winona.
Yeah. So I'm chatting with Jessica Lise, our Amazing Race historian on Skype. I will talk to her after Eric and I wrap up. I'm going to bring in Jessica and we'll talk to her about the historical perspective as far as the, is this the dumbest thing ever on The Amazing Race? So we'll talk to her after this conversation with Eric in just a little bit. So I really think this was terrible because they had so many opportunities. One, they had the choice where it was fruit on the, fruity? Would you like to do a fruity top
or sandy bottom. Exactly. Do I even need to go over again? I'm so upset that there's not a video recap for this because everybody chose fruity top. Just saying.
Didn't the roller moms?
And then John and Jessica, when they switched over because they couldn't handle putting sticks in fruit.
Didn't they learn the lesson of Idris and Alba, is that the other guy? The brothers from the swimming episode when they decided to do the double challenge?
Yeah. No,
that doesn't work out.
They did. Well, they kept saying they have that express pass, so it's no problem.
And, you know, this was like the ultimate I told you so. Like, this relationship will never work out because forever that, you know, anytime they get into a fight, Jessica's gonna say, oh, you mean just like the time I told you to use the express pass on The Amazing Race and you said we didn't need to do it?
Yeah, she was bitter right at that exit interview. He was like, I'm not looking back, and I'm already over it. And she's like, I'm not over it, and it's going to take me the rest of my life.
Because they had a real chance to win the game. They were a very strong team.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. But apparently not, because he's crazy.
Now,
he's crazy.
What is the irony of ironies that a week ago, we're sitting here, John and Jessica have two express passes. They give one to a team with a guy who is crippled, has a leg in a cast. That team has come in first place 2 weeks in a row. And the team that did not use their express pass is out of the game.
Right. Crazy.
Oh, this was great. This was great. So after John and Jessica decide not to use, you know, they do the fruity top, then they switch to sandy bottom. But then they get to, this is what I think went wrong for them. They get to the point where they have to do the surfboard challenge. And it's like, all right, who's totally tubular? And this is what sucks them in, because they're like, oh, we're surfers. It's a surfing challenge. We shouldn't waste the express pass here, because it would be like if the hockey guys got there and it said, like, you're like, who is the best? Your goal is to be who's the best goalie. And the hockey guys are like, well, we wouldn't use the express pass here because we're hockey players. So tubular in the clue, I think, really sucked them in.
Yeah, but you, once they got to the challenge and realized that it wasn't surfing, they should have used it. They can use it at any point they want. So what is he holding? He was not making any sense. He was dehydrated. I think he might have been hallucinating, because I don't know what he was doing from that point on.
And hold on. I got a card here that it's actually Idris and Jameel. I don't know where I got Alba from. Idris and Jameel.
Correct.
Yes. So... They were the team that got eliminated in week two. So
I'm glad we cleared that up.
So for John and Jessica, what did you think about John then? It was almost like Phil pretty much had to say by the end, all right, John, shut it down. It's over, buddy.
Yeah, Phil was getting a little annoyed at him when he was, you know, can I look at those surfboards? Nope, can't. But the other teams, Phil was like, do you want to tell them what it was, what to look at? Nope, not John and Jessica. They're not allowed any help. Yeah. Phil was getting annoyed. I'm waiting, because they have not really been on Twitter that I've seen. So I'm waiting for the explanation to come out. I almost feel them a little bit in the Ryan and Abby category, where they're going to want to come out now and explain everything away. And I'm looking forward to
that. Yeah, okay. So you anticipate John and Jessica coming forward with some sort of, well, actually, what you didn't see was that production told us we couldn't use the express pass unless it was a Wednesday, and it wasn't, so we had to keep going. And so,
is that your Ryan?
No. That was default bitter, Amazing Race person who's talking about production. That's
yeah. Well, and that's what he was doing in that brief moment. But he wasn't saying production. It seemed to me like John was saying maybe he thought one of the other teams hid the correct boards, because he's like, I know what happened and I know what team did it. Was, I think, exactly what he said. So it led me to believe that he was almost saying he thought some other team hid the correct board so he couldn't get them.
Yeah. Where did you think that they should have used the express pass? I mean, should they have used it right when they were having trouble with the fruit? Fruity top.
No. I think they should have used it before they decided to switch detours. I think once they knew that they were going to have to switch a detour, and I believe everybody was gone at that point except for the hockey players, that seems to me to be the most logical place for them to have used it. I mean, at that point, again, they thought they were racing one other team to the finish line. And then they were pleasantly surprised to find out that it was hockey players and Chuck and Winona, but then still didn't use it.
How'd they get so screwed up in the first place? Them and Joey and Megan, they ended up on the last flight. Is that correct, that they were on the last flight to arrive there?
Yes, which was clearly obvious that that's what was going to happen from the 2 little seconds of, oh, we got a flight that gets in earlier and we put brought Joey and Megan on it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that never works out well.
Yeah.
They were on the last flight and they said something like they switched their tickets at the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. It was just 2 seconds. We switched our tickets at the counter. We told Joey and Megan and that was it.
That's it.
Which bumped them to the end.
Well, we'll get to more John and Jessica, I'm sure, as we go along here. Let's switch to the other big story on this Amazing Race season, which is David and Connor, who somehow...
Cheaters.
Somehow, with a broken or a torn Achilles tendon and a cast, have managed to, for the second week in a row, been the first team to arrive to the mat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with a little controversy there on Connor's end, but I mean, bravo. I do like seeing that gameplay. Don't get me wrong.
Okay. Well,
I just thought it was interesting.
Give us your take on the controversy.
The controversy that he was asking Pam and or Winnie, I forget which one was doing it, to see which board it was. And then she refused and he wasn't having that. So he was just looking at her board, and I was surprised she didn't cover the board not to let him see.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how he figured out which one to get and get in first.
I think we're going to bend the rules a little bit here for David and Connor.
Well, clearly we're bending the rules for them. I mean,
yeah.
I am happy that they place first. Don't get me wrong. I am thrilled for them. I love seeing the race being played on crutches. I just need that and Chuck and Winona, and I'm good.
Yeah, the David and Connor story is really pretty amazing. That
it is.
They've really emerged as, like next week, it looks like in the previews that the double U-turn is going to show up. I would, 100% guarantee David and Connor will not be double U-turn next week.
No, they kind of implied that it was going to be Team YouTube and Roller Derby Moms, I think, in the preview.
Yeah, but I mean, they're in such, like, everybody's going to help them. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't help them, you're a douche. Nobody's going to U-turn them. People are going to, give them sympathy all the way through, like, no matter where they go. You said it last week about people getting, going ahead in line and... letting them get off airplanes first. They could be the favorites to win at this point.
All right, but they're not going to win, number one.
Are you sure?
I would bet that they are not going to win. And I will also say, perhaps this is where Max and Katie are now going to swoop in and knock them out. Or maybe this is where a little bit of the evil, quote unquote evil, is going to come in with Max and Katie. Because I can see all of the other teams not wanting to do anything to David and Connor. Mm-hmm. But I could see Max and Katie doing something to bump them out.
Eric, do you want to defend us a little bit? I was reading in some of the comments from last week that people seem to imply that we decided that they're villains. And it was because of their political affiliation that we think they're villains. Didn't they describe themselves as the team that was going to be villains and was going to be dastardly throughout this race?
100%.
Yes.
They said it on the first episode. It's in their interviews on CBS.com. They said they're not here to make friends. They're going to play cutthroat. They're going to do whatever it takes to win. And they said it. 100%.
Although they were pretty invisible tonight.
Yeah, they were. But I mean, what did they come in? They came in, have it right here. They came in Max and Katie third. So, I mean, that's pretty good.
I just think that this season so far, where we talked about last season, where there was a lot of really great teams that were very competitive, and even the season before in the Brendan and Rachel season where you had Brendan and Rachel were a strong team, and you had Art and JJ and Dave and Rachel, and they were all like really competitive teams at the top. I mean, this race, I really don't, there's no superstar favorite team on the race. And if David and Connor are just somewhat capable, I mean, how many teams would you put ahead of them in the power rankings?
See, I don't know that this is necessarily the issue. While I completely agree with you on a competition level and power team level this season, it does not seem to be the case. However, is it not the case because the edit isn't allowed to take that route because we don't have enough time, because we have to follow that people are quitting and not doing challenges and cheating and going crazy and not using express passes. So perhaps we just don't have enough time to focus on how powerful some of these teams are with all the crazy that has happened the first four episodes.
But don't we know that there's no powerful team, considering that a team with a guy on crutches has gotten to the mat first 2 weeks in a row? Like, well, shouldn't that be a good barometer?
It should, but to be fair, didn't he have like a 4-hour lead, I think? And it wasn't like the challenges were particularly hard. Stick some fruit in a thing and then carry a board over.
That took John and Jessica a day.
Yeah, well, maybe he had a go. No, I won't even say it. I won't even say it.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think John and Jessica could even look at a surfboard anymore?
Yeah, look, he said he's over it. He doesn't care. He didn't care 20 seconds later. I think Jessica is probably in a corner crying right now.
Yeah.
But apparently he's over it. So, yep, he's surfing and fine. That is what I am going to go with. He's fine, she's in a corner.
I cannot understate the significance of this for their relationship, because there have been things with Eric, I'm going to tell you something here. There have been times where I have been wrong in my relationship, and you know that your significant other often does not let you forget the time that you were wrong about something. And
so
So
Nicole's still not letting the head shaving thing go.
Like, you mean like the time that, and it comes up, it will come up every time this, whatever the thing is, it will come up every single time. So Jessica seems like a nice girl, but who knows behind closed doors what she's really like.
It is true. We need to get to the bottom of it. To find out if they're even still together. Has it even lasted this long?
I don't know. We'll see if it all comes together. All right, let's talk about your girls, Caroline and Jen.
They're my girls? Yeah. No, they are not.
Caroline and Jen. They got a lot of screen time this week, a lot of FaceTime for Caroline and Jen.
Well, sure they did. They had to get their little country song happening, and then we had to learn how they keep little animals in their bra and how they then died of loneliness.
Yeah, let's talk about that first. So what the hell? Now, first of all, we haven't even talked about monkeys yet, and we had some great monkey footage on this episode of The Amazing Race, but we found out that Caroline used to, she is not good with animals, and she had a flying squirrel. And she kept it in her bra, and it died of loneliness.
And the thing is, they weren't even clear as to the fact, was it like in her bra in a drawer? In her bra that she's wearing on her? They weren't kind of clear on it. But yes, apparently it died of loneliness.
Well, maybe could we take this to mean that Caroline doesn't wear a bra, that if the squirrel was in the bra and the squirrel died of loneliness, could this mean that Caroline, that the bra is home in the drawer?
Right. That is clearly sure. Or she's not filling it out. Or, I mean, there is a lot of things we could assume. Or
nobody's reaching in to pet the flying squirrel.
Right. Exactly. Which, you know, I might not be surprised.
Is that a pickup line? Do you want to pet my squirrel?
Do you want to pet my flying squirrel that is currently dying of loneliness? Sure. Sure. I'm sure that is apparently what she follows up after her Daniel Boone, David Boone references.
I mean, is this not good fodder for a country music song of my flying squirrel died of loneliness?
Clearly. And I have a feeling she might be going down the same route after this episode.
All right. So what did you think about their original song? Is that available on iTunes for download yet?
I think I fast forwarded.
Yeah.
I like some country music, but just not, you know, on The Amazing Race.
Did you think that the foreign cab driver was just pandering that he liked the song?
No, I think they are generally happy to see some blonde Americans rolling up on the taxi.
Yeah.
So I think he was fine with it.
He was cool with it. All right. But then Caroline and Jen almost have a breakdown this week.
Almost. No, they had it. She needed a minute. She needed a minute to cry over the surfboard problem. And I loved how she was like, I took encountered to mean something we've come across before.
That
as opposed to... As opposed to what else would you think it is? And then, yeah, I just, you know, they were getting a little bit of the dumb blonde edit and I loved it.
Yeah. Will Caroline and Jen be putting out a music video anytime this season like James and James last season?
No, they will probably not be doing that. And Do we want to change the mood for a moment? Because James has been a big supporter of us, and then we can get back to the fun.
Sure. Just change. Go ahead.
James's dad did lose his battle with cancer this week.
Oh.
So I know a lot of people who are fans of, you know, the recap and your show, I'm sure know that storyline and how much money he was trying to raise for his dad. But unfortunately, he did pass away this weekend.
Well, that is very sad news to hear. And thank you for sharing that. And we are thinking of James with a Y, not the other James.
Yes, James with a Y.
We're not thinking of the other James today. Sorry.
Nope, sorry, James.
And also, in the music video, I said that James and James had a music video. The
it's
James
just
with,
James.
Yeah, James with a Y. He's solo.
He is solo, and he actually just put out a new song last week as well called Tonight, and it is a more upbeat, dancey song, and almost a little Vanilla Ice Ice Baby.
Oh, okay. We'll have to check that out. I'll put a link to James Tonight. I can't wait. I love the original James with a Y song, Vampire. It's right up there with my favorite song from Lisi from Survivor, Tidy Whiteys.
Exactly. That is, yeah. I don't think anything's going to beat James's Vampire video for me personally.
Have you heard Tidy Whiteys?
I have, thanks to the podcast you did the other day when you and Nicole were talking about it. I was like, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
And I went and looked it up.
Okay. I'm sorry about that. It's okay. Speaking of things that are on YouTube, how about Joey and Megan this week? They were in the same boat as John and Jessica, or plane, so to speak. And they managed to somehow escape this leg of the amazing race without coming in last, unlike John and Jessica.
They did. And I'm going to take back a little bit of what I said about them. As far as I do still feel like they are a power team, but now is coming into my fear of them, the fear that I have for them. And it's that I think they're more followers than leaders in this race. And I think that's what's going to take them down. I don't see them being the ones to step out in front and lead anything. They're just trying to stay in the middle, see what the team in front of them is doing. As long as they have that, they seem to be doing really well. I'm afraid if they slip down any lower and get out of the pack in any way, they're done. And I have a feeling the double U-turn next week is what might kill them.
Are they guilty by association with John and Jessica?
No, more power to them for knowing that you need an alliance for certain aspects of this game. So I think that is definitely, I don't think they're guilty by association.
Well, let's talk about the alliances, because they may have bet on the wrong horse here, because they made their alliance with John and Jessica and the roller derby moms. I think that was their alliance. David and Connor,
correct,
they're sort of their own country. Chuck and Winona, they're sort of their own country.
Right.
And Anthony and Bates and Caroline and Jen, they're together. They're aligned. What about Pam and Winnie? Who are they with?
I think Pam and Winnie are their own country as well. And the only thing I would say about David and Connor, I think they think that they're in an alliance with John and Jessica,
mm-hmm,
as well. Because wouldn't that have been the first flight alliance?
Yeah. But they're just like marching to the beat of their own drum. And I would also say that I would say that Max and Katie are by proxy in the Caroline and Jen alliance, sort of with Anthony and Bates, because I think that Caroline and Jen have helped out Max and Katie and vice versa in the race.
Have they? I have not seen that.
Well, they were working together a little bit at one point. I felt like Caroline and Jen also were helping them out tonight.
Okay.
But they were working together a little bit. It's not a strong alliance. So now that John and Jessica are out of the race, that Joey and Megan could just be with roller derby moms here.
Exactly. And becoming the victims of the double U-turn. But that being said, how bad do you have to be doing on the start of this next leg of the race for one of you two teams that are in fourth and fifth not to get to that double U-turn ahead of the other people?
Well, kind of bad. Yeah, we'll see. So Chuck and Winona, they're so likable though. Nobody could double U-turn them, right?
Yeah, they can. Max and Katie go double go. Go. Yeah. All of my hope and faith for any more cutthroat playing in this game is all resting on Max and Katie. Well, or maybe not. Perhaps Connor has proved himself to be willing to play a little dirty this episode.
Yeah.
So let's go, David and Connor.
How is Chuck doing every single challenge for this team? Aren't they going to run into a point where Winona has to do something?
Exactly. I literally laughed out loud when she was like, "No, Chuck, you do it." I was like, "Oh, of course, Chuck, you do it." More importantly, what's going to happen when they can't relate something to deer hunting or taxidermy? Because that is every challenge as well. We know that he's going to be really good at it because it in some way relates to the taxidermy that he does alone in his garage for hours.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we'll see what happens. I thought this was a good week for Pam and Winnie. I thought this was a good bounce back week for the team that I had picked preseason.
It was.
Good bounce back. Would they come in second?
They came in second. Yeah. Only, and their only trouble was not finding Phil. And I still don't know why all the teams or the teams that had trouble finding Phil had the trouble, because it seemed like they all had to run past their teammate. And all of the teammates were looking at Phil and knowing when the people were checking in. So I don't get why nobody knew where to go there.
Yeah. So very, very interesting week on The Amazing Race. Did you have any other points from tonight's show that you wanted to hit on?
No. I mean, we pretty much covered it.
Yes. This was the point in the race that John was excited because he felt like being... an anal retentive person, he felt like he was excited to get to this point in the race. He felt like this was a good challenge for him.
Yeah, apparently not.
Yeah. What a great scene. I mean, the editors really did make him look bad in that last like 5 minutes. It was like a real, real horror show.
Yeah, yeah, it was. I mean, I don't want to say anything bad about Chuck. I feel we put that on the table. I put that on the table in the last podcast about John. So I'm not going to say anything else bad about John.
Yeah, well, what can we say good about John?
He has really white teeth.
He has, okay, let's
and look, a nice smile.
We were giving him a lot of a you-know-what on this podcast. So let's talk about some of the positive things we could say about John tonight. Yes, he has a great tan.
Sure.
He doesn't let things bother him. He gets over things very quickly.
It's over them. It's over them already.
Yes. And
he came in first and got that the two express passes. So good on that as well.
Good on that as well. And he also is a man who does not give up. He's very, very dedicated to what he does. He yes. finishes what he starts.
Yes, exactly. He has the go-getter spirit and never say die.
Yeah. This is a very interesting season of The Amazing Race to me, because if we would have looked at the board ahead of time and realized like who is eliminated, it's like the teams that are out look like, you know, pretty strong contenders before the season started. Yeah, you know, a double guy team in Matthew and Daniel, and then Idris and Jamil. I almost made them my pick. And then especially you had the first week winner, John and Jessica. So this is a really topsy-turvy amazing race.
It's either going to get a whole lot better or it's gonna lose a little something once we start getting down to the quote unquote weaker teams. I have a feeling it's going to get much better, though.
No, I think it's going to be very good because, you know, like we're saying, that there's no, you know, superstar team in this race. And so it's not going to be like, you know, nobody is going to whoever wins this race, we're not going to say that this was the greatest amazing race team of all time. Probably not. But
right.
The teams are very evenly matched. So it should be a very competitive, amazing race coming down the stretch here.
Definitely.
Okay. If you want to find out what else Eric is covering, you can follow him on Twitter. He is at Reality Recaps.
Yes. Thank you so much, Rob.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Eric. And we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, guys, so I mentioned earlier in the show that we were going to bring in our expert Amazing Race historian to tell us exactly about the historical ramifications of this amazing, amazing, amazing race episode. And so here she is. She is our Amazing Race blogger. Here is Jessica Lease.
Thanks for having me on, Rob.
Jessica, yeah, we had to get you on short notice. You were not scheduled to be with us tonight, but I said, I put up the bat signal and had to bring you in to talk about this because this was a momentous night in Amazing Race history that we will never forget.
It was certainly unprecedented in a number of ways.
In a number of ways. Now, I have said earlier in the show, I think this was the dumbest thing I've ever seen on reality TV, let alone the Amazing Race. Am I off base with this?
Well, I think if we put our hours of reality TV side by side, you probably are edging me out. But that's a tall accusation, Rob.
All right, well, let's limit it. Let's limit it to we won't say like when the situation, you know, put his own head into the wall and had to go to the hospital or anything like that. We'll just leave it to Survivor, Big Brother, Amazing Race. of these three shows. So and we'll include The Apprentice also.
Okay. Do you really think it tops giving away JT giving his immunity idol to Russell?
Oh yeah, I don't even think that was the dumbest move because I thought that was at least a plan. Like there was something to be gained by that. But on The Amazing Race, where just like on Survivor, the name of the game is stay in the game. They had umpteen different chances to just use the express pass. They saw the freight train coming and never got off the tracks.
Yeah, it was hard-headed, to be sure.
Mm-hmm.
Was it dumb? It's hard to say from the information we were given. I think it started out being dumb, but I think they had to realize there was one, maybe two opportunities to throw that express pass out there and stay in the game. And I think maybe they might have known they were out a lot sooner than we were shown.
But at the point they get to the surfboards, how do they not use the express pass?
Yeah, at the point they got to the surfboards, that was the time to use it because they saw other teams still there.
Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't know immediately, they were going to be able to power through that in 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they knew they weren't first, and they knew they were at least in the lower half of teams. That was the time to use it, and it was definitely short-sighted not to use it.
Right. There's no way there was fancy editing or anything like that. That John was there at the same time as Chuck, correct?
Yeah. He was there at the same time as Chuck. And he has to know what kind of racer Chuck is, too. Like, if you're neck and neck with Chuck, you're not battling it out for first place.
Yeah. We could do a whole Jeff Foxworthy routine of, if you're neck and neck with Chuck, you just might be coming in last place. Yeah. If the sun is going down at the surf shop, you just might be competing for last place. So give us some of the historical perspective on John and Jessica here of what are the dumbest moves in the history of the Amazing Race?
Well, the very interesting thing is there are not a lot of outright dumb strategic moves that have cost somebody a race in this fashion. Like, people often get eliminated because they are terrible at a task, or they get a bad taxi driver, or they get lost. But you don't see a lot of people like having their head in the strategic game so hard that they screw something up strategically and get eliminated. So that's the unprecedented angle of it.
Yes. Well, Phil even said that we haven't had anybody ever before get to the mat with an express pass and not have used it.
Yeah. Not only have they never had a team get to the mat without having used an express pass up until this season, they never had a team get an express pass and not make it to at least the final four. I think that's more of a, that's more of an effect of teams getting the express pass who are strong teams to begin with than it is the express pass changing the whole game around. But it's an interesting thing to note that there were two express passes in the game. They're both gone already.
Yeah. So, Jessica, as a woman, what do you think that the long-term prospects of the John and Jessica relationship are after Jessica's insistence that they use the express pass? John said, no, we're not using these. I don't want to talk about the express pass. We're not doing it. And ultimately, they lose the Amazing Race because of John's decision.
Well, I don't think it bodes well for them. But that being said, if she can forgive him for that, they probably probably going
to
do all right. Yeah,
they're meant to be. I also wanted to ask you, as a woman, is a brassiere the best place to be keeping a flying squirrel?
No, the flying squirrel needs to be with other flying squirrels.
Yes,
it's not in good company if it's living in your bra.
Yeah, good.
That's the
lesson learned.
I think that's the second saddest story we've heard on the race this season.
But maybe, was that like a Daniel Boone trick of keep your flying squirrel in your bra?
Wouldn't Daniel Boone have like eaten the flying squirrel?
Made a hat out of it?
Exactly.
All right. So, and the other historical perspective that I'd like you to give us is on the other end of the spectrum, this David and Connor story of somehow with a broken leg have now come, or a torn Achilles tendon and a cast and crutches, have come in first place of the race, two legs in a row. No pun intended on two legs in a row, but David and Connor, are they now the unlikeliest team to ever be the front runners in a race?
I think we have to say they are. I almost at this point, I feel like maybe it's a good thing that he did hurt himself, because if they were running on four good legs, it wouldn't be fair to the other teams.
Yeah, it's like, could you imagine if this team, if David and Connor could somehow win the Amazing Race here on on three legs?
I want Phil to, at the end of the race, they run up to the mat in first place, and Phil says, you know, 12 countries, 5 continents, 55,000 miles, and 3 legs.
Yeah. Could this be the team? Could David and Connor potentially, with a with cancer survivors, torn Achilles tendon, on crutches, I mean, could this be the team that the most people are pulling for in the history of the show?
I think you are a bad person if you're not pulling for them at this point. They're kind of like, what else could happen to them?
Yeah.
Really, they're like Bruce Willis in Unbreakable.
Yeah. No, or they're like Samuel L. Jackson in Unbreakable.
Yeah, maybe they are.
They're made of glass.
Either they're made of glass or they're immortal. I'm not sure which it is at this point.
Yeah. Are they even more popular than Sharla and Myrna?
Absolutely, because they're also, they appear to be level-headed people. Sharla and Myrna were delightful to watch because they were kind of unhinged. These guys are just like, they're so all-American. Like, they should be in commercials for like father-son bonding, and they're also being, they're overcoming adversity, and really there's nothing bad you can say about them. Like, you're a bad person if you say bad things about them.
Yeah, absolutely. So Anything else that jumped out to you about tonight's Amazing Race?
I had a moment that I liked very much, where John and Jessica got to the mat. It's the middle of the night. Phil is like, get these guys out of my sight so I can go to bed. And they still don't have the right surfboard. And then John looks at Phil and says, can I look at the other boards?
Yes.
Phil's like, no, you can't look at the other boards.
Why didn't Phil let him look? Phil just wants to go to bed.
Yeah, I guess it's against the rules. And you know, Phil is a stickler for the rules.
Was Phil just homesick for New Zealand at that point?
Maybe so.
Phil was, you know, daydreaming about he could have been on a schmozzle right now if he was back home.
I gotta say, if that's what they do for fun in New Zealand, it's
not that fun.
I don't know.
You know why Phil left. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I know why he's not hosting Amazing Race New Zealand.
All right. So Jessica, what are you going to be covering in your Amazing Race blog tomorrow?
Well, I'm going to try to break down like the, I had people on Twitter yelling at me that they didn't even think it was dumb to go out without using the express pass. And I'm going to try to get into that a little bit more granularly. And I'm going to talk about, like I do every week, who's doing really well, who messed up, who's looking like they're going to be out next.
Yeah. All right. Well,
you know, the same stuff.
Yeah. All great stuff. All right, Jessica, thank you so much for jumping in on short notice with us tonight. Really appreciate it.
No problem, Rob.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Jessica Leese. Both Eric Curto and Jessica Leese stepping up to the plate tonight to cover an epic Amazing Race episode. I want to watch it again. I really will. Probably at some point on Monday, I will watch that last 10 minutes of the Amazing Race over again on CBS.com. So that will be a lot of fun. So here's what's coming up. And if you want to get our weekly Amazing Race podcast, as opposed to our main podcast with all of the shows that we cover, if you're interested in an Amazing Race only, you can sign up for that on iTunes at robhasawebsite.com/TAR Tar Podcast. So you can go ahead and link directly to that. Or if you want the RSS feed, you can find the iTunes and RSS feed on our website at robhasawebsite.com/showfeeds. So this weekend, Justin Timberlake hosted an all-new Saturday Night Live. JT hosted for the fifth time. I covered that in our SNL recap, which I like to do once a month with my SNL fan friend Rich Tackenberg, and we did that this weekend. If you are an SNL fan and you want to check that out, that's up on robhasawebsite.com. And then in a little bit, I'm going to be watching tonight's Celebrity Apprentice, and I will be covering that for you guys in a podcast that I will post on Monday night. So Celebrity Apprentice podcast coming on Monday, and then it's time to turn our attention towards Survivor, really hyping it up on the commercials. I'm sure if you watched The Amazing Race tonight, you saw plenty of what is about to unfold on Survivor. They're really hyping this up. So whatever happens, Stephen Fishback and I are going to break it all down for you on Wednesday night on Survivor Know-It-Alls live after Survivor. And if this is as crazy as they're saying it's going to be, you won't want to miss what we have to say live at 9:15 p.m. Eastern on robhasawebsite.com. And then on Thursday, we will talk to, hopefully, somebody who gets, we don't know what's going to happen on Survivor, if somebody's going to get voted off or what. Hopefully we'll talk to somebody on Thursday and then do our big Survivor recap on Thursday evening and then do it all again next week for you guys, because that's what we do here on robhasawebsite.com. So hope everybody has a great week this week. Really appreciate you guys who are using our links for amazon.com to do that shopping. We always appreciate you supporting the podcast when you go to robhasawebsite.com/amazon. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye.